Okay, I've got 1:30 PM. We'll go ahead and reconvene this special meeting of the Coryell County Court, noting that all members of the court present, Ms. Newton. Was there anything the court wished to add under item number four?
First, I'd like to make a statement, Judge, and this is pertaining to it. First, I'd like to apologize to the court and all those who attended this morning for the way the court handled that situation. I apologize personally that I misinterpreted Robert's rule of the order. We broke several rules this morning in that after I've done a little research. First, the judge did not have a second to go into recess. He can call for a recess. If the court doesn't want to go into recess, he has to go to vote immediately. We also did not address Commissioner Matthews' motion, which was a motion made in court. And then the motion to adjourn, the presiding officer just made the notion that he can adjourn the meeting at any time that he wants. And so I personally feel bad that I didn't catch that. I like to, honor what this court means. And so I just make a promise that I will do every effort not to let that happen again.
Is there anything else that needs to be addressed under item number four? Hearing none, item number five on the budget on the agenda is consider a budget amendment number 9 to address budget for prisoner board.
Make a motion to approve budget amendment number 9.
Second.
There's a motion to approve from Commissioner Matthews and a second from Commissioner Basham. So for the public's edification and for everyone involved, this budget amendment would basically defund the emergency management department. Emergency management falls under the county judge. I have not consented to any defunding of emergency management. It would also defund some items that were projected under the budget for the county auditor. But if he wishes to have those items transferred over, that certainly is his purview. But in no way do I concede that the emergency management be defunded.
Well, for the edification of the general public, the emergency management position in Coryell County has been vacant for almost 2 years now. And it's for the salary and other, the cell phone, the social security portion of it, the health insurance, and the retirement for a person that does not exist. That's why it's being used. Or proposed.
Judge, I know we have a motion on that, but I think discussion is important. Before we left, I stated that, I'm appalled that you spent more time trying to figure out how you could pull some legal jargon and bring some court order, stuff in versus trying to work on the major problem that we have facing us, which is we're coming into a shortfall. There's estimates of anywhere from 1 million to 1.5 million in a fund line item. And that being prisoner boarding. That's a problem. It's a problem of much bigger than I thought it was when it first, when I brought it up last week in court. There's many statutory rules. There's many things that we can and cannot do within a budget. to find that money. So I believe Commissioner Matthews and the auditor got together and you know, went through the budget and tried to find some money to operate. And part of the statute, and Mr. Wood, you can correct me, or Mr. Belt, you can correct me. Once a fund line item is completely expensed, it is illegal for the auditor to pay any bill that comes in under that line.
The department.
For that department.
Department, yeah. As well. So individual line items within a budget. For example, simple example, my budget. I got office supplies, I got office equipment, I got travel. If I got $3,000 budget for travel and I run over $3,500, but I've spent $2,000 out of office equipment, I got $4,000 budgeted. I've spent $3,200 out of office equipment, I had $4,500 budgeted. And my bottom line is still well in the black, and the auditor is authorized to approve warrants to be paid out of my department's budget. Once my department's budget is depleted, though, it is a Class A misdemeanor to approve a warrant for payment out of that department's budget, the way I read the law, case law, statutes, return to the state.
I think everybody, at least I know I would agree, we don't want to get to that point, do we? You know, we can't meet our obligations and pay a bill. So that was the intent of not only you know, bringing it to everybody's attention, we've got to talk about it. This is a very, very, you know, serious, you know, shortcoming that we have. I do like the, you know, the Japanese in their culture, they don't look for blame, they look to fix the problem. And I think that's what, at this point, what we have to do. This is just the first, this is just the first go round. This was just to give us a little breathing room, a little cushion, you know, to be able to meet our obligations for the next, you know, probably minimum of $250,000 bill from Johnson County. I think it's $50,000 typically from Bosque. And so, you know, we're going to have obligations in the next month of, you know, $300,000 to $350,000, maybe upwards of $400,000. That certainly could deplete the department. And so this is more of a preventative. I know in the judge's opinion, he said he didn't think this was you know, worthy of addressing immediately. I beg to differ. And so I guess I'll, you know, phrase that with a question. You know, as budget officer, what is your solution then?
Well, the solution at the end of the day is it's going to be absorbed by the taxpayers one way or another. That's a very, I don't mean that sound cryptic, but that's the reality of it. You know, I could be very snide, and I'm not going to, about some things concerning the budget. Because the budget that was adopted by this court last year is not the budget that I proposed.
That now, particular fund was exactly the same. Did not change one bit.
Commissioner,
okay.
I didn't interrupt you.
You're correct, but when you lie,
I did,
I'm going to call you out.
I did not lie. I did not.
The exact same
Commissioner,
one that was in the regular
Commissioner. Budget.
Okay.
My statement is a statement of fact.
Okay.
Now, I didn't say that particular line item. I said the budget that I proposed is not the budget that was adopted. And that is a factual statement.
Fair enough.
There were assumptions that were made with respect to both prisoner board and as part of food. And we went through the mathematics of that. And that projection on based off those numbers, one, didn't come to fruition, and two, contributed to a delayed occupation of the 47 beds that we added to the jail, and that did not account for it. So that you don't misunderstand me, when the question was brought up about this particular meeting and the timeliness of this particular meeting, what was explained to me, didn't really think that there was a 7-day difference. That's the long and the short of it, a 7-day difference. But apparently members of the court felt otherwise, and I support that. But I also look at how this wants to be, how you want to do this, and you're proposing something that I firmly believe is in contradiction to Section 111.010 of the Local Government Code.
I think
you can think that, Commissioner, but after final approval, and this is B, after final approval of the budget, the Commissioner's Court may spend county funds only in strict compliance with the budget, except in an emergency. To move funds out of one department without that department's consent is not spending funds in strict compliance with the budget. And if we want to argue about it, let's lawyer up. We'll head over to the district court. We'll file some paperwork. But I think that's... Well,
how about if you answer my question? What's the solution?
And I'll reply quite honestly at this point, Commissioner, I don't know what the solution is. They were facing an issue that I did not anticipate, and I will tell you that I am not so well versed on every aspect of the state statutes to understand, you know, what our options are. But at the end of the day, there are unbudgeted funds that may have to be utilized.
Can I address the judge's legal question before we get much further afield?
Please.
I happen to be a lawyer and know the law in certain respects, and especially budget law, because I have read a great deal of it the last several days. And the judge is exactly correct. You can't defund emergency management without his permission. If an employee has been placed by the court in his purview under his budget, without his agreement, that cannot be stricken totally from the budget. So that issue is pretty much off the table if the judge does not agree. I mean, any funds, obviously, that were unexpended in those line items could be reassigned as unexpended funds, but that would be separate and apart from totally defunding the position. So that issue is not something to be argued about. It's simple. The law is crystal clear. So help him move on.
I guess I have to get with you and rework that one out. But you would think if something wasn't filled in 2 years, I didn't want to budget it last year, but the court did. So I haven't been doing it. Silly. But I guess we can go up there and fix something real quick and adjust amendment number 9.
Yeah, $68,219. $7 less. So, Judge, you would not reconsider that to go ahead and put that in the kitty?
Not at this point, no.
Okay. I move that we recess, and then the auditor will get together and fix it.
A second.
There's a motion to recess by Commissioner Matthews. And a second in stereo from the right-hand side, who would like to take credit? Commissioner Weddle, any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. We stand in recess. All right, I got 151. We will reconvene in open session. Considering item number five, which is to consider a budget amendment to address a budget for prisoner board. A new budget amendment number nine has been presented, which now, not only did the previous one include monies and funds from the capital improvement fund, it now increased that amount out of the capital improvement fund for broadband technology. And with that, then it again becomes, budget amendments from one department to another. Is this an emergency?
If I could take care of just a couple other little housekeeping, I visited with the chief deputy and we visited with the sheriff. Based upon Mr. Belt's opinion, which I agree with, that we need y'all's approval to make those changes within your budget. So you guys approved the moving of the money in the jail fund, the prisoner board, of $11,700.
That's what we need to do.
And in the sheriff's budget of $63,000, then to be moved to cover some expenses in prisoner board.
That's what we need to do.
Okay. As far as the capital improvement fund, I think that comes under the court's discretion of expenditure, if I'm not mistaken. Right, Mr. Bell?
So just to be clear, 2 minutes. One, there's a difference between defunding a personnel position that has been funded, taking that from an elected official or department head's budget. It's a difference between doing that, which is pretty much forbidden, and taking office supplies, office equipment money, and reassigning that. Different standard, different test. I agree that we should.
You understand why I'm a little gun shy.
Consensus amongst everybody about what we're doing and how and why we're doing it. But there is, just so we're crystal clear, there's a different test, in my opinion, on the law for that.
Very good.
There's also a difference in amending the budget and spending money in strict compliance with the budget. 111010B does say that you spend only in strict compliance with the budget. The next two sections deal with how the budget is amended. Once the budget is amended, money is then spent in strict compliance with that amended budget. There's two provisions for amending the budget. One is what I would call a transfer of unbudgeted funds. So dipping into the reserves, for lack of a better term. I think the demands an emergency. A very highly defined emergency, as a matter of fact, is defined in the statute. The transfer of items in the county budget, irrespective of the fund number we have placed on them, they are not in restricted or dedicated funds, can be moved between line items under D, which is without an emergency to serve a county purpose, is what the law says. I think that all that law is crystal clear.
Yeah, I think this is about the seventh time we've gone over it. We should have it down by now.
Yeah. And just so we don't have to talk about it later, Might even be convinced otherwise. It's going to take some convincing. I believe that the money pay our expenses for this item is going to have to be found in the currently budgeted expenditures of the county. The definition of emergency in Section C is a grave public necessity to meet unusual and unforeseen conditions that could not have been included in the original budget. That's not your standard definition of an emergency. And although I think we could meet the grave public necessity because of the public safety issue of incarcerating criminals, I do not believe we can meet the rest of that definition at this time. Although, like I said, I might be able to be convinced otherwise, but it's going to take some convincing. Which is the reason the judge is correct. This meeting today is probably my fault, and I'm willing to take responsibility for it. The longer you wait, the less money there's going to be to find. Finding $386,000 is pretty easy. Finding the next $300,000 may be pretty easy, but finding $1 million or $1.2 million or $1.3 million or $1.4 million might not come to be quite so easy. Yep. Funds are continuing to be expended down the budget without any eye towards this issue moving forward.
Great.
So at the end of the day, regardless of the actions that the court may or may not take today, budget amendment number 9 does not fix the problem.
Yeah, it does for a period. Johnson County Jail could blow up. I know it's funny to you, but the Johnson County Jail could blow up and they're all die, right? And you have no beds, you have no people, so you have no bill. It's not funny, man.
No, I'm not.
You need to, you
no,
need
you
to
don't.
Grow up.
Commissioner?
Jesus. I renew my motion to approve amendment number 9. It gets ridiculous, man.
That's about
a 500-pound rock here. There's 5 people on the court. We can all get it done. 100 pounds apiece, but not with your little goofy smiling crap over there. It's ridiculous.
Mr. Bell, can we approve this second one that Mr. Matthews, can we approve that?
I don't know of any legal impediment to the approval of this newly based on the officer's acquiescence for that position to be removed. That's the only one that's, I think, you know, protected under the law.
I don't even know what does that mean? We can't, in your opinion, we don't need to approve this one today.
In my opinion, you'll need to approve something, and I don't see any legal impediment to approving this one.
Yeah. So that's okay to approve it.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you make a motion to approve?
I did.
There's a motion to approve amendment number 9 as modified from Commissioner Matthews and a second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on budget amendment number 9? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Which brings us to item number 6. Discuss and consider out-of-county inmate housing.
The money you had, 112 here. Is there any way that we can get that up to 125 consistently? I know you've got to have that 10%, and I'll give you the 10%. And then, is there any way we can reach out to TDC? I don't care if we have to drive them there. We've got, 15 that are paper ready, 2 of them since October. And then, last thing, I know there's 3 questions. Is there any way that we can curtail, and I know that I read the law on it, but curtail some of the city arrest for class C's and B's and things of that nature for making too much noise or, I see some of them in there. It's just absurd. I don't know if they're just trying to make an example out of them or what.
So. Well, we don't keep them.
Right.
As far as that, I call them the Otises.
Right.
Of course, PIs is probably the only one that will take and keep it, that's for public safety purposes. Everything else, I've got a good relationship. I had a good relationship with Nathan Yogan as far as C's, B's, A's, if you can get a warrant, you can get a warrant, we'll catch them later. Other than family violence or something like that. Keith Wilson's good about it. All I got to do is pick the phone up and call. What we get into on that is somebody could misconstrue that as we tell them, no, you can't arrest them because we're not taking them. Well, I have to take them. But they've been very friendly about working with them. And I'll reach back out to, it's Chief Lee now. And I'll talk to Cody and I'll talk to Eddie down the field. DPS has been real good about, not inundating this with bullcrap charges. So let me revisit that. But again, we don't keep them when they get to. We're on the phone with pretrial or we're getting judges to PR bond or what have you. The number, where we run into things is like the other day, we had 14 from Coppersville. Well, if we're sitting at 125 and then it comes to 5, we're out of 100. And pretty unfortunate, but I spent 2.5 years getting beat up at the Capitol every day, every 3 months. We just got back into compliance. I've expressed to my lieutenant and my chief that 120, we need to start looking at shipping. That way, we can have a few buffer beds from these port dockets that are coming in. We can serve the 440, 10, 57 district, so their dockets are pretty big. My thing is, I don't want to go over. I don't want to get back on their radar. They're already tracking us. We're having to do reports now for the TDC thing. I used to have a good end, but she retired with a TDC director of classification, and I can get them down just like that. Mm-hmm. I don't have that connection. And now we're doing a class by TCJS standards. Because according to TDC, they don't have any 45-day. They don't have any inmate to go TDC. Because what they've done now that the legislature has passed, the legislation that says after 45 days, they got to start paying us. Well, now, you send a request to them, the pen packet. They have 5 days to respond to the pen packet. Well, when they look at that pen packet, they're like, oh, you didn't cross that T or dot that I, send it back. It's not right. So you get it back, you send it back. Now they got 5 days to look at it. And once they approve it, now we're going to be 65 days into this.
And the 45 days starts over each time.
Time that 45 days. Well, they put Texas Commission on Jail Standards as the enforcing party in this bill. Well, their idea of enforcement is, well, county's y'all handle. And that's the barrier to get it to. I will tell you, if 125 needs to be that number, put it right and I'll put it on file. That's what we'll do.
I just looked at it.
I know you're looking at
it. I'm a mad guy. I got you. And I understand the shifting of them. I do. And I worked in the penitentiary and I worked on the road. I don't know the jail. There's no doubt. And I know there's a lot of shifting. manipulate the debt and all that. I look at the sheer numbers. If we got 15 on paper and bring 12 back over, I mean, that in that 5 months that we have left of our budget, that's $500,000.
$1,500 a day.
Yeah, it's $500,000. It's just, that's what I'm looking at.
I'm not beating the DDC up, but that's that particular way that is, you know, the legislature had good intention, but they didn't put no teeth in it.
Okay.
You know, now it's like every mistake was fine, but, you know, and I know you know that from reports. You get a report back because you misspelled "and." Well, they didn't check anything about that.
Yeah.
So they just keep back and forth because they know every mistake they find, our 45-day clock starts again. Well, that's 45 plus the 5 days they have to respond, so that's 50 days. And I'm telling you, according to TDC, there are no paper-ready inmates in state Texas. And all these counties are having to jump through hoops to make sure our pen package are addressed right, make sure everything's good. Well, it still turns into 50 days because they have 5 days to respond.
They just sent us a printout of 32,000 inmates that were supposedly TDC paper-ready last month.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
32,000 inmates for the state of Texas that were supposedly TDC ready last month.
And the unfunded mandate that they have put on us now and all the counties that they're doing their samples from, which is us, Bell County, there are several of us, they want us to go all the way back to September of last year to see how many paper ready inmates we had and how long we had them in our custody. So on top of everything we got to do today, we still have to do that too. And they said, "Oh, we're not going to have no hurry, but just have it to us by January or July 1st." So,
well, it sounds like we need to get on the phone again and start talking to
the classification director.
What? Well, I'm going to miss big sheriff, but we did up the number to 120 to give me a 5-person variance just in case that stuff happens with Copper Stroke. Or that the court says, "I want 10 people over here." If that happens, I got to ship 5 out to bring those 10 back, right? To stay within that number. I spoke with Inspector Gravett with the Texas Jail Commission this morning, and I discussed with him about compliance and non-compliance. If we're over by one inmate, they're going to find us in non-compliance. And I don't want to be there, guys.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound cavalier, but we've certainly been there before, and they didn't shut us down. And so, we have a decision to make, and I guess this is what, you know, frustrates me, and you can see that the tension's a little high at times in here, because we're talking about big money and a big problem. I mean, this is a bigger problem, and Mr. Belt alluded that it's going to get bigger and harder and harder and harder as the year goes on, and so that's fine. I mean, we can send you a letter, but what we need is everybody to come to the table and say, "We're going to do everything that we can." And I know I'm going to have to go around and talk to other elected officials and beg and plead and say, "Can we have some of your money?" I mean, that's what it's going to end up coming down to, right?
Well, I
don't see any other solution. And if I'm going to have to do that, unless you want to do it, I need to know that everybody's got their oar in the water, rowing the same direction.
I just gave my entire budget up.
Everything that you can do, one extra person at the back end of it is, you know, going to save us, you know, a little less, you know, heartache, you know, at the, you know, September 30th.
For 2.5 years, Commissioner, I went to that Capitol and stood in the bowels of it. I never saw you there.
Correct. First off, I was not on the court that long. I don't want to make this between us, Sheriff.
No, it's not. And I'm just saying this wholeheartedly. I'm the guy on the other end that has to face all these people. This commissioner court doesn't. Now, they did invite the judge. The judge was there. The judge spoke on all that we're trying to do. I worked hand in hand with Commissioner Basham and gave him my entire budget line item to put that thing in compliance. I just sat here and got it secondhand from my chief deputy, which it should have came to me, and gave away what little bit I had left to try to get to this end. The ultimate thing is, our budget was messed up. We did not foresee that far down the road. I cannot turn these inmates away. I mean, I've got murderers, rapists, you name it. I mean, I had 9 capital murders in a 92-bed facility. Capital murder. We're doing our part. I will help any way I can, but I will not shoulder the whole burden, and I will not go back out of compliance.
Yeah, we're and well, I don't.
You can't shoulder it because you don't have it.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it is. That is,
we're. I don't know. You know, kind of make time to not go out of compliance. What would happen? What would it look like if you just put those people in tow on the in the van and took them straight to Johnson County? They're done live scan down there. I know they got the fingerprints. I don't know what their booking process looks like compared to y'all's. I don't know exactly how that works, but I know they're putting them in. When they're putting them in the system, they're putting their criminal charges in the system, getting their fingerprints, putting the charge in.
They would have to come to us first because there's certain things that the jail commission requires, like a two sheet, which is the medical report. They have to be evaluated by our nurses.
Can they be evaluated in Johnson County?
They can. If we send Johnson County an inmate, we have to send a two sheet with them. Anytime that we transfer an inmate.
Spell two sheet for me.
It's Texas Health Status Update.
I'm just curious what would be the. So it sounds like there's a form we'd have to do. We'd have to. They stop by our facility to get that.
Yes. And some of the stuff that we're getting from Cove on the other side of that, they've already been magistrated, but sometimes Cove doesn't give them an opportunity to make bond. We've had people that show up and
we don't have to worry about that. We don't have to worry about that. I'm not worried about that being federal. Just because if they've been magistrated and got a bond set, they find out where they're at in life along their trail. I'm not worried about that. That's the federal.
I wonder.
Sounds like Tushin might be impediment. I don't know anything about that, but so I wonder if there would be an opportunity to. Do they have to enter the Coryell County Jail to get the Tushin box jail? Or could we contract with somebody to go to Cove and get their box checked before they left that facility and got in our van and take the Johnson County? I don't know. I just think that, I mean, that would be a option to not have to bring them to our jail and get some compliance. If you're at 120, it doesn't matter. HPD, do a drug bust, the dog do a drug bust, and arrest 7 or 8 people in a crack house down the street here.
Sure.
And you could be at 127, and then Cove calls, and they got, you know, however many, 14. What are you going to do there? You can't help. You could hold them up and wanted to.
I'm going to try to call the meeting when the word.
But if you had an option of getting them paper ready to go straight from Cove to Johnson County, at least you would have a backup plan to keep one out of compliance. And maybe you'd feel more comfortable being closer to 145 than 120.
I'd be more than happy
to decision for that.
I guess what I'm sitting here spitballing off of what you've been saying, sitting here thinking, maybe we could have a sit down with Brandon Woods, the director of TCJS, and maybe see about getting, you know, a variance. I don't know if that's the right word or not, but to bump that number a little closer. Like if we are back in compliance, but say we go over our 10% buffer, give us a 48-hour period to get back under that.
Yeah.
Does that make any
sense?
To bump that number. Right. Now, I don't know if they will. I'm just spitballing. But I'm just thinking, you know, if we could get that riding between us and them.
Yeah, I agree.
To bump that number and put us a 48-hour clock to get that done.
We're not doing it out of malice. We're trying.
Right. And just to buy me 2 days of, say we go over on Saturday, that give me till Monday to get them loaded up and get them gone. Now, again, this will be totally up to the jail commission to want to do a variance like this, but given our exigent circumstances of where we are, we got to try to be able to pay our bills somewhere.
Yeah.
No doubt.
There's still an open position in pre-trial services, isn't there, Judge?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was going to be the mental health caseworker. Is that the one that's?
That's the one that I believe has not been filled.
So, like, you know, they're doing their 16.2s in both. And if they hire the box hot enough, they get empowered or somebody comes in there or they transport them somebody from there. But we do have an open position in the budget that was going to be used for mental health caseworker to triage those that were right up to 16.2s of that. So, if there was an opportunity, I don't think Mr. Ray, honestly, I don't care. I think he'd be on board if we made the plan and it made sense. I don't think Mr. Ray would stand in the way. But if we could figure out a way to get them paper ready, for lack of a better term, to go straight from code to Johnson County. If we've got money in the budget in another department that does deal with the pretrial release of inmates that has a reason to be involved in the life anyway, that could perhaps facilitate that if it's an option. I don't know all the details of that, what you're talking about, but we're going to have to do something long term because this issue is not going to go away after the first.
No.
obviously, we all agree on that.
Yeah, we put two
designators in jail. I think Boyd's office is, you know, they're setting dockets every week, trying to get them moving. And,
I have to say that your office and Mr. Boyd's office has been amazing. Anytime that I've said, hey, I got to get this guy out, both of them have been great at it because they understand the constraints that we're in.
Yes, we've been here a while. We can understand.
You said you wanted on the 11th, or you needed on the 11th?
If we could, that way we can come back and that'll give us enough time to get Mr. Bell his definitions and maybe work on, as soon as I leave here, I'm going to call Mr. Woods and see if he and I can have a meeting.
And that 48 hours this year.
To try to come up with a variance for a 48 hours, where it starts at that clock and gives me that long to move somebody. And then maybe then we can bump that 10%. And I mean, it's just going to be a temporary fix.
It's a tightrope. We're going to have to walk it for a little while.
Well, we'll build that raised edge a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, part of that, you know, it frustrates me a great deal that it doesn't matter how long somebody's there, they count against us.
Yeah.
When they hit the door. Even if they are booked in and released.
Yep.
And, you know, that's because they show up on the jail roster. I get calls and comments all the time. What's this person in jail for this? I'm like, they're not. Like, well, they're on the jail roster. Yes, I know they're on the jail roster. But if you look at it tomorrow, they'll be off of it. Because they're just there long enough to get their name tapped. They're their call. Please remain calm.
Well, I'll tell you, the Andy Griffith officers ain't there no more. They're gone.
Well, we certainly have more historical data now, and I think there's not a person in this room that could have predicted that we would go from our average of about 175 to our new average of 205. I mean, it's kind of like nobody, I think, predicted the influx of all the new people we'd be getting in the last, you know, 2 to 3 years. Didn't see it, you know, come. And may not sound like it, but my intent never, you know, is, again, to point blame. I mean, things happen, you know, happens in your own household. And so now we've got it, and we still don't, you know, we've got to circle back at the next meeting and start talking about solutions to meet our obligations within the criteria. And I, after I've read this much of it, I agree. You know, touching the reserves is not an option. We're going to have to try to find this money within the current budget expenditures. And if there's, you know, any other elected officials listening right now, you know, we will welcome any camaraderie, any cooperation to, you know, help this, you know, county citizens and certainly, you know, this court get out of this You know, it's a predicament. But all things, if everybody works together, I think we can, you know, get through this. And to Mr. Bell's point, you know, this next budget is going to be a doozy, because we're going to have to now look and say, is 205 our new norm? Or is it going to jump to 225 based upon, you know, the new people that are in here? I don't, that's going to be one of those, toss a coin and see what we can come up with, because that's what we're going to have to budget for.
If I could facilitate a meeting with Mr. Woods, can I count on one or two?
Oh, I'm good.
I've you know, met with him a couple of times in his own office.
Just kind of explain our position a little bit and what we're, our intention is. And it's not to make this a long-term fix by doing this. It's just to get us some ground back. But that'll be probably a pretty good conversation to do. He's pretty good with that.
Yeah, certainly for 4 months. I mean, that's what we got to get. We got to get four months, so then we can recharge the coffers, and then hopefully.
I mean, 48 hours ain't asking for too much. I mean, that just buys us enough time to get through Saturday night to.
Maybe we want to ask for 96 and settle on 48.
I mean, I'm being probably not smart. I mean, not a dumb idea. Probably a very smart idea. Ask for this, that way, when they give you 72, you're happy with it.
That's right.
But just to try to make it, you know, a very temporary fix to get us some ground back. That way they're happy, y'all are happy, I'm happy, we're good. Maybe. And y'all are aware that Johnson County was bumping up to $105 and back.
When is that supposed to start?
They're supposed to be sending the addendum, or the, I guess, addendum, is that what it would be? Whatever it is, here for us to put through the court.
That's probably coming in the next 30 to 45 days. You know,
here again, we've been a very, very good customer.
They've been a very good partner.
We've been a very good customer. And we want to continue to be, maybe that relationship, we ask them, hey, is there any way you can put this off until October 1st? And we want to continue to be your customer. I mean, I know $5 doesn't sound like, but we're going and asking other elected officials to give up money. $5 is $5. So I think every dollar that. And I bet you they might.
Adam King's a very good money.
Yeah, they might do that because he knows the situation. And so they put it off until October 1.
Well, I'm going to have to go a little bit more. Mm-hmm.
They melt a lot.
Mm-hmm.
They melt a lot.
I mean, that's based on 75, it'd be like $375 a day.
Yeah, let's do the math.
Yeah. $11,250
a month. Be around $25,000.
That's the PMC position.
I mean, y'all getting in Wi-Fi. I just gave you all my budget back. You get a blown sales job, man. And a promise. Mm-hmm. All egos and tempers aside, well, I guess we need to all work together really hard to make it.
Absolutely. And I still live in it. But we all got to come together to get through this. Like I said, we've got 4 months. We'll get through it.
For me, the consequences are greater. This county cannot default on their bills. You just can't.
And all of the headline will be in jail.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I'm with you. Do whatever it takes.
Like I said, you hear we have a lot of restrictions.
Maybe we have to get people to agree. A ribeye steak for little Brandon Woods and Adam King.
I can sure do that. Well, contained in my ribeye.
Yep.
He needs to cook up a texture, that's more, don't he?
Is there anything else the court wishes to discuss or consider under item number six? Any actions that the court wishes to take under item number six? Hearing none, Ms. Newton, if you would note that no action taken. Item number seven, adjournment. We've concluded the business of the court today. We stand adjourned.
Thank you, Dan.